The man, the myth, the best in the business. He is ESPN senior NFL analyst slash insider, the best there is, the one and only. Adam Schefter is on the line with us right now. What's up, buddy? How you doing, man? How's everything?
Stephen A., thank you for the kind words. Thank you for having me today. Much appreciated.
Always. Let's start with Black Monday because that's what it is. Obviously, we've learned of several firings. Did any of them surprise you? Pete Carroll, Raheem Morris, Kevin Stefanski. Any of them stand out? Oh, you know, obviously Jonathan Gannon in Arizona. Any of them stood out as a surprise to you, sir?
The two that stood out to me so far, mildly surprising, Raheem Morris and Jonathan Gannon. I say Raheem Morris because his team had won four straight games, and his players like Bijan Robinson, Drake London, they came out and they talked about how much they believed in him and supported him and wanted him back. And you win four straight games and it's your second season and he's respected and beloved in the league and they didn't keep him. Like, that surprised me a little bit. But the Falcons were overhauling their entire organization, and I think he just got swept up in that. And Jonathan Gannon, again, it shouldn't be surprising. They've lost eight or nine straight games, but last week I've been told that they weren't planning any changes. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, they make the change today where he's out. And again, I think when you step back and look at it on the surface, you're like, well, of course, they lost nine straight games. They're struggling defensively. He's a defensive coach. Of course he's going to be let go. But it doesn't seem that simple. Again, I think Raheem Morris is going to have a lot of interest. He's going to have a chance to interview some head coaching jobs. Certainly have any number of defensive coordinator jobs he wants. And I think the same is true for Jonathan Gannon. He might get some head coaching interviews, and he'll certainly be getting a defensive coordinator job of his choice.
What about Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland?
Not a big surprise there. He had been there 6 years. I think people there expected it. I think he expected it. I think the organization, he just kind of feel it all along that that was the direction that they were moving. And I think Stefanski will be a top candidate in this hiring cycle. And I think he'll get another head coaching job, at least have another opportunity if that's what he wants. That one didn't surprise me. That one I saw coming. And now, again, we are six firings in. And you're waiting to see, okay, well, what else? What else is coming? And I think we're at the point now where now it gets interesting. Like, do we get another one, two, any? Like, what happens here? And there are some still unsettled questions out there. Miami,
yep.
Baltimore, Tampa, Pittsburgh, Green Bay. Like, what's going to happen in these places? I don't think we'll get many more, if any. But I think we'll still get probably a little bit more activity here.
You just mentioned Green Bay. They're in the playoffs. Yeah. They go up against Chicago. Matt LaFleur, I think, you know, I make fun of his, you know, because it's spelled like he's from France. It's a LaFleur. So I'm just having fun with that when I say it that way. But I know that he's a good coach and he's had some success. Nevertheless, I've had my antennas raised from the very, very beginning because of policy running that show and not giving a vote of confidence to him nor to GM Gutekunst. He didn't sign them to extensions or anything like that. How much real trouble is Matt LaFleur in Green Bay?
Listen, I think they'll figure out a way to get it done, but that is certainly not certain. And I think what he and Brian Gutekunst and Ed Policy, the new president, would like to avoid the GM and the head coach, if they don't get extensions done this offseason, both would be headed into the last year of their contracts. So I just don't see that happening. So you do something before then. You extend one or both of them if you believe in them. And if you don't, then you make the decision to part ways. And again, I think both men would be viewed at as highly desirable. If they were on the open market, I think both men would have opportunities. So, you know, they're in the playoffs right now, the Packers are. They're getting ready for the Chicago Bears on Saturday night. They're not, you know, Matt LaFleur's not thinking about this right now. We're talking about it just because logistics of his situation. But my sense would be that they figure out a way to get it worked out. But all these things are always fluid, Stephen A.
No doubt. Well, actually, it's just fluid. You know how I am. It's fluid. No question about it. I'm thinking about Pete Carroll, and God bless him. He's been around a long time, energetic, but 74 years of age, watching him on the sideline, you just got the feeling that it your time is up. Your time is up. And then we're talking about Tom Brady, who's doing an outstanding job on Fox in the midst of a $375 million contract over 10 years. But he's also the minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. My position is I don't care about any other pick, but the number one overall pick for the Las Vegas Raiders is most certainly going to be a quarterback. There is no one that should make that decision but Tom Brady. What can you tell us about what's going on in Vegas in terms of their overall mindset based on what they've experienced this year?
Well, you know, listen, just because you're the greatest quarterback of all time, one of the greatest athletes of all time, doesn't mean that you have extensive knowledge at quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, last year the Raiders traded for Geno Smith and they, you know, they didn't go after Sam Darnold. So, right. And listen, I love John Elway. John Elway was in Denver. He drafted Paxton Lynch and Brock Osweiler, right? Like, just because you play the position doesn't know that, like, these guys, they were so good that they want the quarterback sometimes to be like themselves. They right. try to see themselves in a quarterback, and they don't see a different mold sometimes. But, look, he knows so much about football that you would have to think that his opinion, his input would be valued, needed, wanted, all those. That's why he's in the position he's in. So, look, this certainly seems like it's a two-quarterback draft class if Dante Moore comes out of Oregon right now. Certainly feels like Fernando Mendoza's got a real possibility of going number one in this draft.
Right.
He could be the Las Vegas Raiders quarterback very, very simply. So we'll see how the Raiders view that, but it shouldn't be a hard pick to make it one. I mean, you and I can make the pick, Stephen A.
There you go. There you go, without question. The one and only Adam Schefter right here with Stephen A. Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Just a few more questions before I let you get on out of here, and I appreciate you taking time out of your obviously busy schedule. Always appreciate you, Adam. When I think about where we are right now, think about the Baltimore Ravens and that crushing loss last night. We're hearing the things that we're hearing about Harbaugh. They've got to make a decision about him in Baltimore. He's been there over 18 years, et cetera. What are you hearing about the situation in Baltimore? I know you said that the word firing is not necessarily apropos when it comes to the likes of him and Mike Tomlin. Nevertheless, when you've been there this long, you haven't won a Super Bowl, you've been to the Super Bowl since 2012, when you've got a myriad of defeats at your disposal on some gut-wrenching loss over the course of the last 12 years or so, what are we to make about what's going on in Baltimore and what may happen as a result of it?
See, you said it was their decision. I view it as a mutual decision. I view it as these sitting down and having conversations about what each wants to do after 18 years together. John Harbaugh is the second longest tenured NFL head coach behind only Mike Tomlin. John Harbaugh has been in Baltimore 18 years, Mike Tomlin 19 years in Pittsburgh. And I think it goes for both coaches. Like, I don't think the owner's walking in one day, like it's been the case in some of these other places, and saying you're fired. I think they're going to have a conversation about what works for everybody, and they decide that they want to be together or they see that they don't want to be together. And that'll come out of the conversation that John Harbaugh and Steve Bisciotti have here, whether that's today, tomorrow, this week, whenever it is, and they'll come to a conclusion about what's best for each side. Like, does John Harbaugh want to coach there in Baltimore, continue on, or does he want to almost have his pick of these other jobs? Like, does he want to be New York Giants head coach? Does he want to be the Arizona Cardinals head coach? Cleveland Browns, Miami Dolphins, whatever it is, right? Like, I almost feel like if he were a coaching free agent, just like last year, Mike Vrabel could have gone to a lot of places. I think John Harbaugh could have the same options this year if that's what he wants.
Let's look ahead to some potential candidates for these coaching jobs. I mean, when you think about Kevin Stefanski, he's going to be a candidate. Brian Flores, he may be a candidate. Vance Joseph, Broncos defensive coordinator, he's up there. Matt Nagy, Chiefs offensive coordinator, he might be up there. Robert Saleh might even get a look as the 49ers defensive coordinator. And then you got guys on the offensive side of the ball in Buffalo and Seattle, respectively, in Joe Brady and Clint Kubiak. Does anybody stand out in your mind as somebody that's going to really, really be getting a bevy of calls for people to look at them and interview them?
John Harbaugh, if he's free. And I think teams will be waiting to see what happens there. And then I think this is a different year. Like last year, everybody was clamoring for Mike Vrabel and Ben Johnson. Those are the two guys that I think a lot of teams would have had interest in. I don't think there's a group out there right now or a candidate that has that type of appeal to so many. There are great candidates. There are great candidates every year. But last year, there were teams essentially tripping over themselves to go get Ben Johnson. I don't see that being the case. All the names you mentioned, they're all valid, and they're all going to get interviews and have a chance potentially to get a head coaching opportunity. But I don't see one of those coaches like having this great leverage right now. Now, that could change, you know, depending on the way they interview. And maybe somebody's going to be fortunate enough to have multiple options. But I think if you spoke to all these guys, they'd be very happy to have one or two of these options because these head coaching jobs are tough to come by.
Do you get the impression that Mike Tomlin could be one of those people if he doesn't beat Houston next Monday night?
Well, Mike Tomlin could do what he wants. Mike Tomlin could stay in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin could take a year off. Mike Tomlin could go to TV. I about the only job he can't have is yours, Stephen A. Yeah, yours is about the only.
I got you. I got you. Before I get on out of here, in New York anyway, it's no laughing matter in terms of how moribund the New York Jets are. I have to confess to you, I'm shocked that Aaron Glenn hasn't been fired yet. I really am shocked at that. What can you tell us about the Jets situation right now?
They've been adamant that they're standing behind him. And if they were to make a change, which they've insisted they're not, then it would be a market departure and it would be a total change of heart from Woody Johnson. They are planning to have him back for the 2026 season, despite the fact that they had the single worst month of December that any team in the history of the National Football League ever had, being outscored by 107 points in the month of December. They are having him back despite the fact that since they started keeping statistics for interceptions in 1933, almost 100 years ago, the Jets are the first team in NFL history never to intercept a single pass in the course of a season. I mean, some of these numbers you can't even make up. If you add up the quarterback ratings of all the quarterbacks that the Jets played this season into one cumulative quarterback stat, that would be the MVP of the league. He would have numbers that would be through the roof. And Aaron Glenn's expertise is supposed to be in defense.
Yes.
And this team regressed everywhere, but they insist they're standing behind him and not making a change.
The absolute last question, is there a team that could fire their head coach today that would surprise or, dare I say, shock you?
Well, you're never shocked, right? But, like I said, you know, you're waiting to see, does something happen in Tampa where the Bucs owners change their mind? Did something happen in Baltimore? Green Bay, I mentioned these teams. Like, I just think we still don't have full clarity in maybe a half dozen places. Again, I don't think we're getting six more changes. That would shock me. I think we still might get one or two. Hopefully none, but maybe we get one or two. And the places we've trotted out there are always possible. And by the way, let's also keep in mind, Stephen A., there may be a team in the playoffs that goes one and done that has a very disappointing postseason appearance, falls flat on its face. And lo and behold, at this time next week, we're talking about how this coach of a wild card team got fired.
Wow. Adam Schefter, the best in the business. Always appreciate you being there for me, buddy. I really, really appreciate it. I know you got to go. Thank you for your time, man. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, my friend.